In a few weeks' time, we'll be voting for new elders within our congregation. And so over these weeks, we've been looking at some of the qualities of an elder that to try and help us as we look around and prayerfully ask for God to raise up elders within our congregation. We've looked at different aspects. And this morning I want to think a little bit simply about the elder as a leader. Now, when we talk about somebody leading in different contexts, that just creates different ideas. But basically, it's someone who gives guidance, who gives direction, someone who leads. And when we speak of leadership, then different pictures come to mind. We've seen classic examples of that in a certain election this week, where leadership seems to be about strength, about power, about egotism. And is that what the Bible teaches about leadership? The passage which Rebecca read for us a few moments ago from 1 Timothy chapter 3 is Paul, the Apostle Paul, talking to Timothy about what to look for when you're appointing elders in the church. When we look for elders, it's not because we as Presbyterians have decided, you know what, it'd be a great idea to have people that we call elders rule over the church. We go back to Scripture, and we find it way back into the Old Testament, elders being set up to give guidance, to lead, to give direction. And here, Paul talks to Timothy, this young Timothy, and says, Timothy, when you're setting up a church, when you're leaving a church, make sure there are elders in place who will give leadership and guidance and direction to that church. So Paul talks to Timothy about leadership, and he points to a very, very different picture. Paul doesn't talk about strength, about power, about egotism. He doesn't focus upon what a person can do. He doesn't even focus upon what a person might promise to do. Paul focuses on character. These were what elders are to be like. Character. When Paul's looking at overseers, the same word is used for an elder, or leaders in the church, their character is more important than their CV. Their character is more important than their list of achievements. And so this little passage is simply a description of character. And if you want to turn to it again, we'll read through it quickly. It's on page 1192 of the Pew Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And listen to the description of character, the description of Christian character. Verse 2, the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. It's all about character. What are these people like? Not what they have done, what they might do in the future, but what are they like as people? That's the important thing. And it sounds like a high calling. We read through this list and we think, goodness me, nobody's going to make that. And certainly if we're looking for somebody who perfectly lives out all these things, then our list of elders is going to be extremely short. No one perfectly lives it out. It is a high calling. And yet, that's the calling that Jesus gives to all of us. back in Matthew's gospel, Jesus simply looks at his followers and says, here's the standard, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so Jesus sets up this high ideal of a perfect life. Now, we need to be clear that we will never, ever manage that perfect life, achieve that perfection this side of heaven. None of us will. But that's the standard that's set for us. That's the standard that we look towards, the standard that Jesus has set in his own life. So that's where Paul starts. Timothy, if you're thinking about elders, look at their character. Look at what other people think of them. Are they above reproach? Do they have a good reputation with outsiders? Look at how they manage their own lives. Look at the example that they give. That's what we're called to look at. And sometimes as we read down through this passage, we might think it looks a bit like a list of resolutions that people have made. Okay, from now on I'm going to be above reproach. From now on I'm going to be temperate. From now on I'm going to be self-controlled. And we go through this list of what I'm going to be and what I'm going to do. But it's much more than that. It's not just a list of resolutions. Galatians, we read about what happens in our lives when the Holy Spirit is at work in us. When we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives and things begin to change. And we read this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It sounds very familiar. What Paul is talking about as character is what happens in us when the Holy Spirit works in us. When that fruit begins to grow and develop and mature in us. It's not about a sort of moral discipline where we try to live by the law and try to make sure that we observe every single rule. It's about the character that the Holy Spirit is building in us. And like all fruit, it grows. It starts small and it grows. But it is evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life when that fruit is beginning to grow and mature and develop. Any fruit that you have around you doesn't just suddenly pop into existence. It starts small. And as the life of the plant flows into that fruit begins to grow and develop and mature. And we see it, and we know when we see it that there's life in that plant. So it is when the Holy Spirit is at work in us. That character, that fruit of the Spirit starts small, but it begins to grow and mature and develop as evidence of the life that is flowing through us, the life of our risen and living Lord Jesus. It's all about character. It's a process. It's not an event. It's not character that suddenly develops overnight. It's character that grows and matures and develops. So we're looking for elders amongst us. We're looking for elders as leaders, people who lead by example. Because the way they live their lives is just a demonstration of the work of the Holy Spirit in their own lives. The Holy Spirit is at work in us, changing us to become more and more like Jesus. And so we see people becoming more and more Christ-like. More and more Christ-like in the way that we treat each other. More and more Christ-like in the way we manage our money, our tempers, our attitudes, our families. when we look for elders who lead by example, we're looking for people who can demonstrate what a living relationship with Jesus looks like. There's no doubt that our elders have and will have many other gifts. All through the Bible, it's apparent that we don't just have one elder to look after a church. We have a plurality of elders. And together, all those gifts and abilities and skills that they have combine to help in the leading and guiding of a church. But Christian character is the basic requirement. It's the foundation. And all those other skills and gifts and abilities are built on that foundation. But if that foundation of Christian character is not there, then those gifts will never be stable. Those gifts will never be used in a mature way. We look for lives that are becoming more and more like Jesus. We look for lives that don't point at themselves. Lives that point away. Lives that point towards Jesus. Much of the leadership that we see in the world around us simply asks this question: why should you contribute to someone else's glory when you could have all that glory yourself? And very often that's the model of leadership that we see in the world around us. You take the glory. Don't contribute to anyone else's glory. Christian leadership is very, very different. If you drive past this building at nighttime, you'll see it lit up. It's beautiful. But one thing you never see is the spotlights. I don't think I've heard anybody drive past on the road and say, "Stephen, you've got some beautiful spotlights up at that place." They will say, "It's a beautiful building." The function of the spotlight is to highlight the building. The floodlight is there to light up that building. The function of a Christian life is not to point towards itself, but to point to the one who's creating that new life. The function of the Christian life is to point to Jesus, to floodlight Jesus, to spotlight Jesus. John the Baptist came before Jesus. Came before Jesus to prepare the way. To open people's minds and hearts to the coming of the Messiah. He was very effective in his ministry. So much so that people looked at him and wondered, "Are you the one, John? Are you the one that we should follow? Are you the one that we should get alongside? Is it you?" And John comes out with this amazing statement. "He, Jesus, must become greater, and I, John, must become less." That's what Christian character is about. Christian character is about desiring to see Jesus made greater and ourselves set to one side. So all these lists of attributes of an elder, they all combine into this Christ-like life that points us towards Jesus and helps us step out of that spotlight. Almost everything that we produce around here has our mission statement on it on the side of our bulletin. To know Christ, lovingly to make him known. That's not just for elders, that's for all of us. To know Jesus, this Jesus who says, "There's no greater love than this, than to lay down your life." And this Jesus who not only said it, but did it. It's our calling to know this Jesus. And then to make the same Jesus known by the lives we lead, by the things we say, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. As we look for elders, please, please do not look for perfect people. They only exist in stained glass windows. They're not here. We're looking for people who give their lives to Jesus, who desire to see him lifted high and honored in their own lives and in the life of our congregation, and to lead and give guidance and direction from that sure foundation. What about your life? What does your life speak of? When people look at you, who or what do they see? Do they see the floodlight? Or do they see Jesus? May God give us the grace to hear the call of Christ upon our lives and then to kneel in submission, to invite his Holy Spirit to work in us so that we, elders or not, may demonstrate the love and grace of Jesus in our own lives. Shall we pray together? Father, you know us. You know how difficult we find it at times to step aside and let someone else take the limelight. And yet, Lord, we know. We know that's what our lives should be like. Giving the glory to Jesus. So help us by your Spirit, through your word, to do just that. In our conversations, in our dealings with other people, in our quiet times, in those times, Lord, when we think that no one else can see us, Lord, help us then to be more like Jesus. And to you, Lord, be all praise and glory.